It's our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Denise Lee.
Hi, Denise.
Hey, Laura. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been quite a bit long time, and I've missed you, honestly.
Oh, that's nice. Hey, I'm sorry I missed out that question you asked the boys about daily routines and washing.
Yeah, the beauty routine that they don't seem to have.
It's too funny.
I know.
Yeah, actually, secretly, I'm quite happy I did miss out on that conversation.
a little gross, not going to lie, but like, I mean...
Just a little.
Just a bit. Do you have a beauty routine?
Do I have what, sorry?
A beauty routine?
It's more routine than it is beauty. Mm. And I quite pride myself, I'm 15 minutes from start to finish. Get up, I'm easy going, I don't even blow dry my hair, I just let it dry naturally, out the door, 15 minutes.
Claps for you. But I guess we'll jump in. So a National's kind of big win that's been claimed this last little while has been the capital gains tax that's been abandoned. So tell me a bit about this.
Yeah, well, the government spent 18 months, right? This is a flagship policy and $2 million on a tax working group. And we gave it all that we had to put up our points for why we didn't agree, why it was going to hold back Kiwis, and in their very year of delivery, the flagship term they've used, they've dropped their flagship tax policy. So we would say very strongly that there's something wrong here. We spend this much money, this much effort, and this much attention, and it's just dropped like hot potatoes. You've got to ask yourself why.
Mm. Do you think, in terms of the New Zealand population, there is a bit of frustration with that being dropped?
Well, I guess it depends on who you talk to, Laura, but
yeah.
Certainly we're picking up some serious relief that it's being dropped. And not just from those who you may think would be relieved, you know, those who own multiple properties and so on. It's from right across the board, people who are worried about contributions to KiwiSaver, people who aren't in the property, in the business, small business side of things, but want to be. Just people who are generally unsettled, not feeling confident about their future investments. And now they've got certainty, but we went through one heck of a period of is it going to be this, is it going to be that? Michael Cullen's involved, he's getting paid heaps. It's just, the whole thing was a really unfortunate, uncertain experiment on New Zealand.
Something also, this is kind of going a little bit off comment, but what I found really prominent within the conversation was people mentioning using this as a retirement investment. And I guess there are concerns about that, from me anyways, that if people are regarding this as a retirement investment, that market isn't 100% stable. What do you think of that?
Yeah, look, I mean, I guess I'm not quite sure what you mean by retirement investment,
so,
and who you'd be referring to there, Laura. Can you just expand on that for me?
Yeah, so people who buy properties in order for them to kind of appreciate in value and then selling them off when they are ready to retire and then putting that funding into things like being in a retirement home. So if that market isn't 100% stagnant, that could be really detrimental to people's future retirement savings.
Yeah. Look, I guess capital gains taxes affects lots of people, not just the category you're describing. So at the end of the day, this is dropping it does, I think, create some certainty. Honestly, Laura, people will always refer to those who own multiple properties, but if you are doing that and you're doing that in terms of a significant investor type, you are a property investor, you're paying tax anyway. So I'm not quite sure why those who work really hard to get a couple of properties are being targeted. At the end of the day, capital gains tax, especially in this instance and what we've been through the last 18 months, affected so many different types of people, not just the retirement people who've worked hard to get one or two extra rentals.
Also, the other thing that I think is curious in amongst all of this is a commentary from Labour specifically and New Zealand First, who was saying that there didn't seem to be a common consensus on the subject amongst the New Zealand population. And I found that to be an interesting choice in terms of needing a consensus from the public. What do you think about that?
Hey, Laura, I'm going to have to admit at this stage, sorry, my friend, it's really hard to hear. My line's not clear today.
Sorry about that.
Is there any way to just to raise the volume just a tad?
Can you hear me a little bit better now?
Yeah, a little bit better.
Okay, I'll pop.
Apologies for this.
No, no worries at all. What I was saying is that when this whole announcement was made, we had government coming out and saying that there didn't seem to be a consensus amongst the general public. And I found that to be a curious statement from government in terms of needing a general consensus. Do you think we always need to have a general consensus on these kinds of issues in order for them to become law?
Well, no, not necessarily, right, because if you back yourself, and this is why there's a big surprise, it's the Prime Minister herself who still says today that she personally wants a capital gains tax. If you back yourself, you should be saying, well, look, we believe as a government this is good for, you know, a certain percentage, if not all the country, and we're going to do this. We've worked hard on it. It's flagship. This is something that we truly believe in, and we thought that they believed in it, but clearly it's, you know, that they've done a runner. So you'd have to really say, what does that mean in terms of not thinking that you've got the political capital to push through a tax like this? Clearly they didn't, the Prime Minister didn't.
I'm going to shift on to New Zealand government leading efforts to combat violent extremism online. So that's kind of the big, meaty subject the last few days. But what do you think about this?
Well, freedom of speech in a democracy, right, means that you've got to tolerate expressions of diverse views. So while I'm open to the idea of making sure that we can be more active in moderating social media platforms and so on, I just don't know what this is going to look like. Haven't had the chance to examine anything. Right now, it's just terms and titles. I think the term crackdown on social media has been used. What does that look like? That has me a bit cautious, that particular term. What are the implications of cracking down on social media? It's tough. You know, we've talked about this before, haven't we, Laura? It's tough to know where that line is. Just last night, I was moderating comments on my own Facebook page, and there were some there that I thought were really borderline. You know, a couple of people starting to use some really dumb language. And then I sat there just thinking, okay, well, is this comment, should I leave it here? Should I come back to it? It can be really tough to figure out what to do. You have to be 13 to be on Facebook. Should I be looking through the eyes of a 13-year-old and wondering, right, that's not good for a 13-year-old to read that, delete? It's tough. So with not seeing any you know, actual proposals right now, it just feels like, you know, sort of ethereal at the moment.
I guess something else I want to ask is, do you think New Zealand is the right country to be leading this kind of effort?
Look, not necessarily, if I'm honest. You know, where did the big social media platforms emanate from? You know, we don't house a Google, a Facebook, Insta. You know, I think that the conversation has always been very much, well, certainly the attention has been very much US-based.
Yeah, certainly. I actually, even just a few days ago, I got myself into a Facebook argument on a stuff comment section which I know you're not meant to do.
Did you win?
I actually got a surprising comment back from her saying, like, she was really glad that there were people like me in New Zealand who, because she had some very clear anxieties in what she was saying, in which she was talking about Muslim people, and obviously seemed quite scared. So I kind of asked her on a personal level to just take a step back and humanize the people that you're so afraid of. Because that's what I think is really important, to humanize what you're afraid of.
Yeah, totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Fear is such a powerful motivator.
Mm-hmm.
Most often for the wrong reasons. And we have that in politics too, Laura.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you use certain politicians at certain times will use fear for the wrong reasons. Now, being very cautious and identifying things as challenges, yep, absolutely, and seeing down the track on behalf of the country, that's fine. But straight out fear-mongering, humanity responds to that in easily and too quickly.
Even amongst that argument, the freedom of speech subject always comes up, where people want to defend things that are discrimination and are really derogatory by saying it's freedom of speech. So that is potentially a danger, don't you think?
Yeah, totally agree. So, you know, the balance is not easy to come. People use freedom of speech to warp all sorts of things.
Mm.
As simplistic as it sounds, for me, I just think, is it classifying, is it into violent hate speech? You know, we all know that there is an absolute line there that can be drawn. Just when you get off of that and into diverse views and freedom of speech and strong views, that's when it becomes quite grey and hard to define, manage, and control.
Because I guess something along the similar lines of it is, we protect religious speech, we protect political speech, because that's really important for a democracy, obviously. But people can be discriminatory in the guise of being political as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, look at how, I'm thinking of, what was that senator's name in Australia, an egg boy? Post our Christchurch tragedy, when he was making comments in regards to immigration policy settings. You know, I mean, that was using his political position to infer, quite frankly, all the wrong things. Absolutely. And that's part of, you know, politicians have got a lot that they need to be very mindful of. When you're in, it's not just politicians, anyone in a position of influence. The media too, Laura.
Yeah.
You know, how you handle topics and what you say can reverberate.
Mm. And I guess we'll jump on to the last subject I have now, which is the dump on the West Coast, which burst open from flooding.
Yeah, terrible.
Yeah, so what is the severity of this incident in your eyes?
Oh, I think it's right up there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you only need to talk to people on the ground, right? So it's fine for me to talk from Auckland. But when you talk to people on the ground, scientists are saying that the cleanup and impacts could be felt for generations. You've got estimated 50 kilometres of beachfront landfill contents washing up on pristine beachfront. This is our west coast.
Mm.
You know, it's where we have such needed, dire needed tourism. People to see untouched, beautiful New Zealand. So, you know, to have this happen, it's actually really pretty big.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I guess what is that in terms of what does it mean for that community when there is not going to be, is not confirmed to be government aid yet?
Well, they're rightly up in arms about that. So Westman Council has been doing their best to get on with the cleanup, even enlisting, obviously, volunteers, but even enlisting tourists with help. and good on them. That's fabulous global citizenship right there. But when we all know that some of these smaller councils are really cash strapped and do their best, but they've got a very small ratepayer base, and then when you've got that many tourists coming in, you know, you do the financial figures there, it's not easy for them. So what we know at the moment is that the Minister Eugenie Sage has basically said she's considering a request for funding. Well, it's been weeks. So what does that look like? Where's the timeline? Where's the commitment? Professional contractors are going to be needed now and in the future, and they're saying that seasonal floods could continue to keep washing the rubbish out into the river and the sea and the beaches for months to come. So it's not just about considering a request and seeking information. That's something else that she said. We need action.
Yeah.
And now.
Yeah, and like some of the images that came out of the rubbish, it was so plastic-filled, really awful to see. And I guess in terms of climate change and commentary around flooding, we could potentially be seeing increases in situations like this. And I guess with that in mind, do you think New Zealand is prepared for that kind of event to be happening more often?
Well, I mean, that's the one good thing that you'd say about what the minister said. She said that she's going to seek information about how legacy landfills are being managed across the country. Fine, good. But what about the fun right now? So you're right to point out that there could be other impacts not yet felt, but this is urgent, this is now, and people in the area need some certainty, because they can't keep coming out week after week and potentially month after month on a voluntary basis.
And I might just end off on my final personal question, as I like to do. So my question this week is, how do you handle hateful commentary or just mean people in general? Do you address it or do you ignore it?
Oh, it's a good question and so topical, especially after I just told you I was trying to moderate my own page last night. Yeah. I had kind of unusually multiple, really, I'll just call them dumb comments last night. So what I do is I have a saying, and it's three words. So whenever I receive something that's kind of tough, or I think, oh, you know, you're kidding, I want to react, or even if I'm not sure how to react, my three words are consider the source. So when I face someone really mean or hateful, I just think to myself, consider the source. And that might mean that I think to my in my mind, well, that person is having a real bad day, or that person, they're not just mean to me, they're mean to everyone, or that person has a reputation for doing that, so I just let it roll off my back.
Water off a duck's back.
Yep.
Good stuff. Well, I'm looking forward to talking to you next week, Denise.
Yeah, you too, Laura. Thanks. Take care.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
See ya. Bye.
The National Party's Denise Lee on 95 BFM.